This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. I certainly am. I'm looking forward to our time together. I'm always eager to see what the Holy Spirit has in mind for us. And so often, we figure it out together as we come together for this show. Do invite you to give us a call here. That's one of the ways that we find out what the Holy Spirit is up to. Let me give you that toll-free number for you. It is toll-free for you right here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I welcome you to use it. In addition to that, so does Matthew Gubensky. He is our call screener. He loves to be kept busy. You help him to stay busy when you call in with your questions and comments. So please do use that number and join us as soon as you want to. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Always inviting you to call us with your questions, comments, insights, inspirations, or words of encouragement. Another way that you can join us today is via EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature there. Put in your question or comment, and Jeff Burson, our social media manager and producer extraordinaire, will retrieve it, and he'll put it up on the board, and I will be able to address it. Now listen, if you're outside of North America, you can call us too. That number is country code 1-205-271-2985. Again, country code 1-205-271-2985. So do give us a call. Don't delay. Call right away. We want to hear from you today, right? That little jingle certainly expresses my heart. So I always like to ask St. Joseph to go out there and to gather up the callers, you know, to gather up the callers. So we're just asking you, St. Joseph and St. Anthony, go find them, gather them up, and bring them on in here. I know that so many times where we are together here and you call in with a question, and boy, it's just what somebody else needs to hear. So one of the ways in which we heed that prompting of the Holy Spirit that helps for all of us to be edified and to grow in union with our Lord Jesus Christ. We've got all kinds of other ways for you to do that too, and we invite you to get to our website, womenofgrace.com. Golly gee, you know, I'll tell you, it's been a busy fall, and it's just going to get busier. There's no question about that. Tomorrow, if you are a mission partner, we're inviting you to join us for our mission partner gathering together, right? It's a beautiful opportunity. It's actually mission partner growing together. If I had my glasses on, I could read that more accurately. I'm going to be there, and so is a very special guest, Dr. Donald Wallenfang, who is the academic advisor for our Benedicta Institute for Women. And he is going to be sharing some words with those individuals who support our efforts. The Benedicta Institute for Women is a beautiful, beautiful opportunity for women to grow more deeply and in a more intentional way in their knowledge and appreciation of who they are as the daughters of God, aimed at being able to take that into the world. So the goal of the Benedicta Institute for Women is to train up Catholic women leaders in the world today, and you can actually get a certification in Catholic women's leadership via the Benedicta Institute. So if you have a desire to get certified in an area like that, where you then have the capacity to be able to influence others through the very areas of entrustment that God has given to you by way of your profession, by way of your role perhaps in a Catholic parish or stepping into a Catholic parish setting. If you are a teacher, an educator on any level, you know, we really want for you to join us for this opportunity to be certified as a Catholic women leader. We will have all of the information up there soon, but Dr. Wallenfang will be with us. I'm going to have him on radio too in the not too distant future to chat with y'all about it, but he's going to be there tomorrow for our mission Partner Growing Together gathering. And if you are a mission partner, please plan to join that. You can register right there at our website. In addition to that, oh, this is going to be so much fun. Oh my goodness sakes. We have been putting together, I should say my staff has been putting together, specifically Thea Parsons and Isabel Liberatore, along with others, our regional coordinators, our facilitators, our director of Mission Growth and Expansion, Lynn O'Connor. We have been putting together a beautiful day for you, an afternoon really, on September the 30th. That's a Saturday. We're inviting you to join us. It is our first ever Wagathon. Now, if it's successful and you like it, we'll do it again. But it is our first ever Wagathon, and it's to celebrate the 20th anniversary of Women of Grace. All the way back in October of 2003, we began this beautiful outreach, this apostolate to women, to help them understand the great gift that is theirs by way of their authentic femininity. And you know, it's interesting to me how God works things out. We could never have imagined 20 years ago where we would be right now with regard to women. As a matter of fact, this afternoon I'm going to be interviewing Dr. Carrie Gress, who's written a great book called The End of Woman, How Smashing the Patriarchy Has Destroyed Us. We could not have imagined that we as women today would be fighting for our very identity as women. And yet that's where we find ourselves. Woman is being erased from the cultural mindset. And it's happening in ever so very many, many ways. And you say, oh, Johnette, that's hyperbole. No, it's not hyperbole. We are institutionalizing efforts to erase who woman is and basically to marginalize her to the extent where she is no longer necessary. Technology is doing that. But not only technology, ideologies and agendas that have been around since the 1700s. We're going to be finding out about that through Carrie Gress today in the interviews that we do that you'll have an opportunity to see in a couple of weeks. But 20 years ago, when we started Women of Grace, you know, we knew that we were facing powers and principalities with regard to the woman. The big threat was radical feminism then. It continues to be the big threat. And we'll be showing with Carrie how all of these things weave together. But we couldn't have imagined that we would get to this extreme, the extreme that we're at today. And, you know, God is intentional and deliberate in what he does. And I firmly believe with everything in me that God raised Women of Grace up 20 years ago so that we would be in position to fight this behemoth that we're facing today with this attempt, this cultural deliberate attempt to erase woman. And it's just an incredible thing. More than ever, women need to know, and young women need to know, who they are in the eyes of God, the special charism that is theirs by way of their authentic femininity, the graces that are theirs. They need to understand that they are the sign of the sacred in the world. That is a big statement. It's not mine. It's the statement of Gertrude Vonnefort, a philosopher that lived, basically, I think she died at the early part of the last century. But she defined for us in a way that is just beautiful, along with Edith Stein and St. John Paul II, the beauty and the wonder of woman. So this mission is very, very important. We're 20 years old now. We are poised to do great things. Benedicta is all about that. But we want you to join us for our Wagathon, celebrating the 20th anniversary of Women of Grace. You can register for that. It's obviously a free registration. It's going to be taking place in the afternoon of September the 30th. It's a Saturday from 1 until 5 Eastern time. And it's an online event. You can dip in, dip out. We're going to have special guests throughout that 4-hour period. It's going to be so much fun. Well, here we are. We're at the break. We're going to go to that break. We're going to come back. Please give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN.
Johnette is taking your phone calls, 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Well, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. You just heard those numbers. Let me give them to you again, because I do want you to call. Yes, I do. 833-288-3986 is the toll-free number for you if you are here in North America. Let me give you that number again, 833-288-EWTN. again. It's so easy to remember that way. Inviting you to call us too if you are outside of North America. That number is country code 1-205-271-2985. We invite you to use that number. We look forward to hearing from you. If you're outside of North America, just as much as we want to hear from you if you're inside North America. Also available for you is EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. You can use the chat feature there. Put in your question, your comment, your insight, your inspiration, your word of encouragement, and we will go on out there and get it. It's going to be Jeff Burson who does all that work for us. He'll put it up on the board and we'll be able to address it. Matthew Gubensky is on the phone today. So when you call 833-288-EWTN, be sure to give him a big old howdy hey. And do let us know if you're a first-time caller or a first-time submitter, and we will ring our bell for you. There it is, welcoming you for your debut right here on the program. Well, today is the feast day of St. Matthew. And, you know, I have to admit, I like St. Matthew's gospel very much. I mean, I like all four of them. I probably live in Luke a little bit more. And, you know, obviously very, very fond of St. John. We're so blessed, aren't we? We have these four evangelists who help for us to enter more deeply into the sacred mysteries of our Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, the gift that we have in sacred scripture is that this is the word of God. It is the word coming to us. And we need to be open to that word of God. Of course, we have the opportunity to hear the word be proclaimed at every holy sacrifice of the Mass. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but the entirety of the sacrifice of the Mass and all of the prayers that we pray are found in sacred scripture. There are some, of course, that have been, you know, constructed from truths given to us in sacred scripture. But we would be surprised if we were to sit down and do a little bit of an analysis of the prayers that are prayed at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and see how many of them come directly from sacred scripture and how many of them are based on scriptural truths, you know. And so when we hear from individuals that, you know, the Catholic Church doesn't really believe in the Bible, that's nonsense. It was the Catholic Church that gave us the Bible. The evangelists wrote, inspired by the Holy Spirit, but it was the church herself who determined which of those writings would make up the Bible, would be part of the canon. And so, you know, here we are with St. Matthew's gospel. It's a beautiful, beautiful gospel. He compliments. It's interesting, too, because you get different perspectives when you look at sacred scripture. Now, I'm not a scripture scholar, but I think that any reading of these gospels can show you that you get different perspectives. It's kind of like if I'm telling you a story and somebody else is telling you a story, we're likely to emphasize different things. We're not going to contradict each other, but we're likely to tell you some of the same details, but we're also going to bring in other aspects of what it is that we saw. And under the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit, when the evangelists wrote the sacred texts, you know, the Holy Spirit was bringing to their mind that which needed to be brought to the forefront for the sake of each one of us. One of these days, I'm going to find it. You know, I have a very nice, tidy library here. Well, it's not tidy on the shelves. I would like somebody to come and tidy it for me, by the way. But it nonetheless, when I say tidy, I mean, I don't have thousands of books, but I do have hundreds of books. And there is one of those books that I read a long time ago. And I think it's one of three. And one of these days when I have nothing to do, I don't know when that's going to be, I'll sit down and page through them to find this. But it was one of the spiritual writers of one of these books who made this comment that, oh my goodness, you know how you read something and you know the Holy Spirit's speaking to you because it's sort of like a, you know, like it's a zinger in the heart, you know? I had a zinger in the heart and I took this so literally and I took it for my own. And he said, and when he used the pronoun you, I took it to mean me, specifically you at that time, Johnette Benkovic, you, this is for you. He made the statement that the holy evangelist, the Holy Spirit had you in mind when he inspired the evangelists of old. In other words, and this is a very loose paraphrase, what he was saying was, whatever the text is that you are reading at a given moment, the Holy Spirit, being one of the three persons who comprise the one God with the attribute of omniscience, saw you in the very moment he's inspiring St. Matthew, for example. He saw you reading the passage that you're reading, and he had you specifically in mind to read that passage at that time. Because there was a grace attached to that passage that was meant to be a dynamic in your life, that was meant to feed you, nourish you, change you, transform you, lift you up, inspire you, set you on fire. You know, and I'll tell you, when I sit to read sacred scripture, when I take it into my time of prayer, I'm listening at the holy sacrifice of the Mass, right? I don't like to read along. The gospel is meant to be proclaimed. It's very nice that it's in the Missalette, and you can follow in that, or you can follow in your Roman Missal. I'm not suggesting that's a bad thing. The more senses we use, the better we remember. I personally like to just listen to the proclamation, and I am pleased when the lector is able to really proclaim. Not just read, but proclaim sacred scripture, right? And what I like to do is, as he's or she is proclaiming it, I like to repeat it silently to myself. That helps me to remember the passages. It really helps me to memorize scripture, which I like to do. But I take that notion from that spiritual writer into that listening and into that sitting with scripture when I want to use it in my time of prayer and do Lectio Divina, that as I'm reading it, the Holy Spirit foresaw that very moment when he was inspiring the apostle to write that text. You know, that just that notion, you know, just changes. Not only the way in which we approach sacred scripture, but what we're open to receiving from sacred scripture. And that's the important part. It's not meant to be just words on a page. It's meant to have that transforming effect in our lives. It's meant to do something. It's meant to enter us and begin to live in us, right? This is why we have the liturgy of the word. You know, Holy Mass is broken into two parts, the liturgy of the word and the liturgy of the Eucharist. You know, Jesus Christ is the word. He is the word made flesh. God created the world by speaking the word. The word was the second person of the Blessed Trinity. And speaking that word was efficacious. And creation happened. And so when we listen to the word being proclaimed, something is meant to happen. We're meant to be recreated, to become another Christ, another creation in God. Something new and wonderful and exciting is meant to take place. And then in the liturgy of the Eucharist, we have the beautiful, beautiful sacred privilege of receiving the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, to receive into ourselves the one who is the Word. What an incredible gift. Golly gee whizzakers. You know, if we just allowed ourselves to contemplate these great mysteries, wouldn't it be just absolutely astounding what we would see happening, how our relationship with God would change, and hence our relationship with each other. You know, have you had a moment like that in your time of prayer using scripture? Do you remember that passage? Generally speaking, when these things happen, you remember precisely the passage. Boy, would I love to hear about it today. It would be a beautiful way to celebrate the feast day of one of those four evangelists. St. Matthew, purveyor of the good news. Ooh, I like that. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us here on Women of Grace Live, where we do indeed love having that holy conversation with you. We have Cecile with us from Texas today, listening to us via Guadalupe Radio Network. Good morning, Cecile.
Good morning, Johnette. What a privilege and honor to speak with you. You're such a lovely, lovely example of Christian and Catholic womanhood and following Mother Mary, and I just think you're tops.
Well, thank you, Cecile. It's a privilege for me to have the opportunity to speak with you today. So what's going on in your life here?
Well, yesterday I called, but I was too late, and I've been always concerned about this. You know, we talked about yesterday about Italian and the evil eye and all these curses and superstitions. I always have carried with me. My daughter was born, and I have four sons and a daughter. And I named her Mary Rita after our mother, Mary and St. Rita.
Beautiful
and
name.
Isn't it? And I have hyphenated so they just don't call her one name. So consequently, when I had her in the hospital, the nurse said, I said something about St. Rita. She's going, well, let's hope she doesn't have a hard life like her. That was one thing. Then another thing, one of my relatives who wanted a girl her whole life, she says to me, you better not have a girl. So consequently, she was born with a problem with her eyes, congenital hip. And all through her life, God love her, she's now 58, just turned 58, and she has one thing after the other. So should I lean toward thinking that it's something over her or just that's not true, or it's very bothersome to me, you know?
I can understand, Cecile, and quite frankly, you know this as a mother. I mean, every woman listening today who has children, either biological or spiritual, knows that when our child is suffering and going through difficulties and trials, you know, we feel it. We feel it so intensely. It's part of that mother-child connection that is so specific to women. And it's a beautiful gift. On the other hand, you know, it causes us to really take into consideration those afflictions that our children are experiencing and through the grace of God to pray in special ways for them. I wouldn't want to rush to that. People oftentimes make offhand comments. When we were talking yesterday about, you know, true curses and things, generally speaking, there are rituals and spells that go along with that. But by the same token, words do create. And this is something that I was referring to a moment ago when we were thinking about the Word of God. And we often don't think about this, that we are created in the image and likeness of God. And God created by speaking. And he created the world and brought it into being by the word. Created in his image and likeness, in a similar way, an analogous way, but not the same way, our words too create. They can build up or they can tear down. And anyone who has ever been the subject or victim of gossip or slander knows very well what that pain and that suffering can be like because of the words of others. Anyone who has ever been verbally abused, ridiculed, or mocked knows how suffering is caused by way of the spoken word. And so what frequently happens is that when we make these offhand comments, something is created. Now, is it, and what was created here? You know, what was created was this nagging concern, apprehension, and fear in you that there could be something occult attached to, to the whole situation and the reason for your daughter's, maladies and afflictions. So words create, and I think that this is a very good example of that. Now, oftentimes, you know, the evil one likes to use those words, and this is what he does. He'll take those words and he'll use them to his own end. And I suspect that this could be happening, but we're going to go a little more deeply than where I'm headed right now. So just stay with me. But, you know, what the evil one wants to do is he will take these kinds of things and he will use them to his best advantage. In this case, to cause fear in you, apprehension in you, anxiety in you, and nagging suspicion in you. And you know, those are all demons, you know, and they play in that little field. And what is the little field? Well, the little field are those words that were spoken to you that have had an effect. And so they just keep speaking them. You know, they just keep nagging at you. They just keep, you know, nipping at your sense of peace. It's your sense of trust in God. So we can take authority over those things. And I think it wasn't yesterday, but I think it was last week, where Sue talked about this beautiful prayer that she read in a book on Catholics and spiritual warfare. And in it, the priest recommended that when these kinds of thoughts assail us, and we talked about this in reference to these kinds of things, but also in reference to our time of prayer and distractions, because it applies both ways. And it was Jesus, I take authority over this thought and make it captive to you. And then, of course, through the exercise of the will, we begin to distract ourselves in ways that take us away from that. If it's in our time of prayer, obviously, the distraction is there. We return to our prayer. In your case, you begin to praise and thank God for the gift of your daughter. That's what I would do. Father, I thank you. I praise you. You know, Father, I thank you that even all of these situations and circumstances that she's suffered through, she's been victorious. We've seen your victory. And, you know, I would do that kind of a thing, because this kind of fear and anxiety, et cetera, is the evil one's plaything. And this is a prime example, Cecile, of, you know, false evidence appearing real. What is the evidence? The evidence is these words were spoken by these two people. But it's false evidence. What's coming out of them is false. This is not a case, I don't believe, of a curse being placed on her. Now, in the event, however, that these individuals were malicious and they actually followed through on something, or someone did, then what we do here is I would suggest that your daughter seek out someone, you go with her, who understands deliverance prayer. The Unbound Ministry trains people up. I always like to go to a priest for those kinds of things, and recommend a priest that understands deliverance prayer, just to as added insurance, if you will, just an added insurance. So stay with me, Cecile. We'll finish up on the other side of the break. Right now, we're going there. 833-288-EWTN is the way you can join us, or EWTN Radio's YouTube channel, Facebook page. Coming right back. Stay tuned.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. I surely am. Looking forward to hearing from you. Our lines are open for you right now. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We're available for you as well out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature. Put in your name and how it is that you're listening to us and what your question or comment might be. Jeff Burson will retrieve those questions from social media, and Matthew Gubinski will answer your call when you call in to 833-288-EWTN. In either case, if you're a first timer, do want to know, I'll ring my bell to welcome you for your debut. So Cecile is with us. She is in Texas listening to us via Guadalupe Radio Network. When her daughter was born, she gave her daughter a beautiful name, Mary Rita. Two comments were made with regard to this little one when she was a little girl, little baby, that were very upsetting for Cecile. And these two comments really caused her to think that some of the disabilities and struggles that her daughter has had throughout her life, from her beginnings to her present time, she's 58 now, could possibly be rooted to that. And the question was, well, could she have been cursed? So, you know, as I mentioned to you earlier, Cecile, you know, curses really involve other kinds of matters besides spoken words. They generally have a ritual attached to them. But, you know, if somebody curses you, You know, and I mean, you know, even with words, they utter a curse against you. There is a certain efficacy to that. I was saying that I'm not really certain that that's what happened here. But I am saying that, you know, as an insurance policy, does it ever hurt to seek deliverance prayer from anything that could be attached to us? I know that, you know, researching the New Age as I did for many, many years and as Sue does now and continue to be involved, you know, oftentimes, you know, in the past, I have sought deliverance prayer by a priest that understands those things, just because I knew that there were things being hurled against me because speaking out against it. So does it hurt? Absolutely not. So you might want to suggest that to her if she's open to such a thing, and you can find someone. I don't think you'll have trouble finding somebody in Texas that is well-versed in this.
Right, right. Well, this is so comforting because I didn't want to think that way, but you know, the evil one, a master of lies, he goes after me for a lot of things, but he's not going to win. So
no.
With Jesus and Mary and St. Joseph, those are my three hearts every day that I go to. And but I do appreciate that. And I just should just forget that side of it. And I do have, there are deliverance prayers. Must it be with a priest, or could she just say that on her own, or what do you think?
She could say it on her own. The beautiful thing about doing it, you know, with a priest is the fact that you know, his office as priest. Now, he's not an exorcist. You don't need an exorcist. Every priest,
by virtue
of holy orders, has the grace or the charism of, minor exorcism, right? So,
right.
You know, that's always just a little insurance policy. But no, she could pray that. And it's not a bad idea for all of us to pray that because, you know, the evil one is always, mm-hmm. you know, searching us out, right?
It's terrible. It's terrible. Yes, it's terrible. It's, you know, it's a constant spiritual battle every day. And then
you realize
when it's been rectified through our Lord Jesus Christ that, hey, it's okay. It's not going to win. It's a constant battle. Ephesians 6:10, put on the breastplate of armor and all that. And I believe in that. I really do. And I just want to say one more thing. Thank you for acknowledging my daughter's beautiful name. If I would have had more girls, the next one would have been Mary Claire. But I had four boys and one girl.
well, you did very well with Mary Rita. And, you know, St. Rita of Cassia, what a powerful saint she is. So she's got a great patron saint. So, Cecile, I hope that this does bring you some comfort. And, you know,
thanks to you. Yes, thanks to you. You're so wonderful. You have inward beauty and outward beauty as well.
And
thank God for you. And one more thing, I overlooked saying happy feast day to Matt. Today, St. Matthew. If you would extend that to him from me, I'm sorry I overlooked that, Matt.
Okay, but, I will let him know.
Okay,
he can hear you.
okay, good. Okay. Well, keep up the good work. We love you, and God ever bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Cecile. You know, and that's the thing, friends, like when these things happen, you know, and you're under, you know, a little bit of oppression there, you know, so you recognize that and you take authority over it. You have the authority by virtue of your baptism, you know, and we stand in the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, then we just shake it off, you know, just shake it off. Let's get to Mary. She is in South Bend, Indiana today. We do want to hear from you too. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. It's the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live, where we really, really love having that holy conversation with you, but I can't have it with you if you don't call in. So please do call in. 833-288-3986. Also available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. And we've got JP in Alabama. We're going to go to JP pretty quickly, but first we're going to go to Mary. She is listening to us via Sirius XM Station 130 right there in South Bend, Indiana. And you know what's there, friends. Notre Dame is there. Hey, Mary, how are you?
Good morning, Jeanette. Thanks for taking my call. I'm calling in regards to your conversation with Cecile. And this morning I had coffee with a very dear sister in Christ who's been a real spiritual mentor to me. And she has high school young adult children, and she was just talking about some of the travails her kids are going through, have been going through. And she said, you know, I'm coming to the conclusion that the evil one works on the mother through her children, because if he can get the mother under his grips, then he's basically taken out two people, or, you know, more, considering, you know, a family in that process. And I just really took those words to heart and have been thinking about it, and then talking, you know, listening to Cecile talk, I'm like, I think that could be true, especially if you're a devoted mother who prays for your children. And, you know, if that evil one, you know, our heart hurts when our children are having rough times. And if that evil one can just weaken us to the point where we say, you know, come on, God, I'm sort of done here, then, you know, the evil one has won you and your child both. And so as parents, we just really, really have to continue to pray and just continue to bat that evil one back into the corner and keep our guard around our children through our Blessed Mother.
Well, you know, you are absolutely right, Mary. I mean, and your friend's observation is a really good one. And so he will try to take the mom out. And that's, frankly, don't you see that's what we're seeing right in our culture today? You know, as I was talking at the beginning of the program, you know, we're watching the annihilation of woman in our day and time. Mm-hmm. This is really an attempt to take the woman out. And it's been going on since the 1700s. I mean, Cary Grace's book is just fantastic. I recommend it highly to everybody. The End of Woman, How Smashing the Patriarchy Has Destroyed Us. But the fact of the matter is, you know, this is, we are caught up in that primordial struggle between the woman and the devil. And he seeks to take us out as women. He can't stand us for any number of reasons. One, because we are women, as is our Blessed Lady. Two, because we have the capacity, or the potentiality, better phrased, to bring life into the world. And he hates life. He hates it. Don't we see an anti-life culture that we're living in? You know, we see it everywhere. You know, it starts with, you know, well, it goes back, but starts with contraception, then abortion, then homosexuality, lesbianism, sterile relationships, now transgenderism, the mutilation of the body to put up the delusion that we are a sex other than what we are, that we are a gender other than what we are. And in doing that, you know, whether it's a man trying to become a woman, which can never be, or a woman trying to become a man, which can never be, it annihilates the capacity to bring life into the world. Mm-hmm. You know, we see all of this. So the evil one is always going to attack, and he's going to attack moms. And the way in which he attacks the moms is through the child, because he knows of that connection between mother and child. He's observed it since the dawn of civilization. And the other thing, too, with regard to that, and I think that this is a fair point to make and maybe helpful as well, is he's always going to go, the evil one is always going to try to take out a family by going through the weakest link in that family. Mm-hmm. I mean, by going through whatever the situation or circumstance is, or the person in that family who is most likely to succumb. So, you know, circumstances. We just heard from Cecile. He'll try to attack us through circumstances and trials that our children go through. Or if we have a child that is causing problems within the family, that child is going to be the one that the evil one is going to try to constantly use to create disruption. If it's a husband or if it's the wife, he's always going to go for he. You know how it is that water seeks its own level? Is that what it is? You know, I don't know what it is. You know, water seeks its own level. Well, it comes in through the easiest entry point, and that's what he does. He comes in through the easiest entry point. And sometimes that's our maternal heart, because we care so much about our kids, and we can turn our back on God when we perceive that, you know, our prayers are not being answered or not answered in the way in which we want them answered. Mm-hmm. So I think that was a really good observation. I'm glad you brought it to us today.
It was a Holy Spirit moment that, you know, I just came home from being with her, and then I turn on your show and hear this, and it's like, the Holy Spirit spoke to me today. So now I can maybe just go take a long nap or something.
Hey, well, listen, if you get some rest during that nap, just ask your guardian angel to take it and give it to me, just a wee bit of it.
I will. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Mary. God bless you, sweetheart. Bye now. So I want to get to JP before we go to our next caller, but I want to remind you that you can call us right here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. The other thing the evil one will do before I get to JP is he will get through that weakest link. It'll create such havoc and disruption in the family that we forget to pray. We're so wound up that we can't pray, meaning that he will have his busy about many things, trying to solve all these problems on our own, going to our own, ideas on what is the best way to resolve this issue. And, you know, he'll get us all locked up and in a frenzy. He loves to put us in a frenzy. When you start to get in a frenzy, know the evil one is involved. No matter what the situation is, the evil one ties us up in knots. God does not. God frees us. The evil one binds us. Anyway, JP and Alabama called and asks Johnette, do you see anyone in this day who is able to reflect the face of Jesus as well as John Paul II was? I was watching videos of him on YouTube, and you could see that he loved everyone so deeply, and it moved me to think that Jesus loves me even more than that. Well, I'll tell you what, when you called in here, JP, I don't know what your initials stand for. Maybe it stands for John Paul. Wouldn't that be a lovely thing? But no matter, the fact of the matter is, you know, when we see icons of the Lord, and that's exactly what JP2 was and is in heaven now. Same with St. Teresa of Calcutta. Now I do have to say JP2 had, a certain kind of luster or radiance about him. There are people that I see on a regular basis who I believe have that same kind of luminosity, or the beginning of that gift of luminosity. When we see that, we recognize and realize that not only is God real, but God desires for us to be like himself. And it edifies us and builds us up, just as we were talking about it. It helps for us to begin to embrace these beautiful realities of communion with God. And so I agree with you. Watching John Paul II, we could see that. And I think that there was no better depiction than when he was, in his very elderly years, and when he was experiencing such suffering in his body, when the maladies of the flesh were really exercising control over his physical well-being and his physical demeanor, and that one image of him holding on to his crozier and leaning into that crozier with his head against that crozier. He was the suffering Christ. And yet, in spirit, he was never more well. And that too inspires us. And yes, Jesus loves you. He loves you to the nth degree. Nothing you can do can take away his love. He loves you unto death. Greater love has no man that he lay down his life for a friend. I call you friend. Beautiful, beautiful words. Thank you, JP, for bringing up JP to us today. Let's go to Angeles. Angeles, what a nice name. Pilot Point, Texas today, listening to us via Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Angeles.
Oh, hello.
How are you?
Well, I'm hanging in there. I'm just praying that this has a good effect, that my husband, who is rather mentally ill, that this works. He's 59. And he went in voluntarily to a mental hospital like 5 years ago, but then dropped all of his meds, cold turkey, and is trying to do it, between us. I know he needs to be in. So I actually, on Saturday, had to forcibly have him committed. So I had to call up and have them take him in, involuntarily. He suffers from paranoia, schizoaffective disorder, psychosis, and delusional.
Oh,
I mean,
baby.
He's functioning, but he literally won't leave the house without me.
Yeah.
He finally said something that was, he's, you know, that was enough. He actually threatened, I mean, to me, he didn't say to anybody else, but threatened somebody else to kill them, literally. And I didn't mean it. Well, he says that, you know, but he's, you never know when it's going to snap. So I figured it's got to, you know, he's got to be in there. He needs more help than I could possibly give him. And I don't know what to, you know, I'm just waiting it out. They're going to keep him until September 30th as of now, but, you know, he's trying to get attorneys to get him out. Like, no. I love him. I want the best for him, you know, but I don't want him out right yet. He wouldn't be able to handle it. I'm also kind of afraid of if he figures out that I'm the one who put him there, because he didn't know at the time. I did it kind of covertly. But, you know, if he gets out and he finds out I'm the one who did this, I don't know if he's going to be afraid, if I should be afraid of him, he's going to come after me, or if he's going to, you know, understand, which is a possibility. I'm just, I don't know, you know, I'm just kind of like I'm in the middle of this.
Oh,
he needs prayer. I need prayer.
Oh, my goodness. You have been through so much today, Angeles, and you've been through so much that's led up to this moment. We're going to pray. Obviously, we're going to pray, but you have done the right thing. I just want to reassure you of that, you know, especially since he was not capable of making sound decision and was talking about things of violence, you made the right decision. It doesn't mean that that makes it an easy decision, and it doesn't mean that you're not torn apart interiorly because you had to make that decision. And you do love him. You love him enough to make that hard decision. You know, whether or not he'll be able to realize that in the short term, who knows? But I do hope that while he's in there, they're able to get him back on the meds and be able to bring him to a state of, you know, better mental health. And my question is, when he was on the meds, was he functional?
Yeah, he's functional. It just kind of deadens him, as he puts it. He just kind of sits.
Yeah.
And doesn't do anything, you know.
Yeah, and that's hard. And I think that this is one of the reasons why, with those individuals who suffer with a mental illness, they don't want to take those meds because it does dull them out to a certain extent. But by the same token, at least it helps to stabilize them, so that the illness is not controlling them, and so the medication does help to control the illness. That being said, do you have family near you?
I've got enough family I can talk to. Nobody's actually close to me, I mean, physically, but I talk to them.
Do you have children?
So yes. They are also nowhere near me.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, how wonderful it would be if they were near you, but even at a distance, if they give you their full support and help for you to make it through this time. And it wouldn't be a bad idea if you were able to be present with them for a few days here, just to allow yourself to recollect and to calm down and to receive that kind of loving affection that you need, having come through such a traumatic moment here. So, Angeles, let's just come together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and present ourselves and all of this situation to Almighty God, who has a perfect plan and a perfect will in this a situation, even though it's hard to see. And so, Father, we do come before you in this moment. And, you know, I, as an intercessor here, present to you your daughter, Angeles, and you know what she's been through today, Father. You have never left her side. You're aware of all things. You're our omniscient God, and her guardian angel was accompanying her. And I know that Our Lady was praying for her from the moment that she began to realize she had to make this hard decision to the present moment. And I know neither her angel nor Our Lady will leave her. And I know that your omniscient gaze is upon her. And in and through that omniscient gaze, every spiritual blessing in the heavens is immediately available to her. Father God, I just would ask that through the power of the Holy Spirit and the love that is forever flowing from your throne into our hearts and into our lives. I am just praying that your daughter Angeles would be confirmed again and again, affirmed again and again in the decision that she made. I ask that all of those parts of her being that are frayed as a result of this experience now would be knit back together through the beautiful, beautiful cords of grace that Our Lady plies so beautifully in our hearts. I pray, Father God, that the Holy Spirit would be a sweet balm to her, that the Holy Spirit would be there now, soothing her and comforting her, bringing to her that consolation that comes from the Trinitarian life itself, that enables her to find, even in the midst of all of this drama and trauma, to find sweet repose in the most sacred heart of your Son and in the Immaculate Heart of Our Lady. I ask also, Lord, for your benefaction to be with her husband. Oh my goodness, here he is in this state, emotionally and psychologically and mentally, where he cannot put the pieces together and come up with the right answer. I ask that his soul would intuit the love that Angeles has for him and the care and the concern of all of those who are caretaking him. Provide respite for your daughter and provide respite for your son. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of Our Lady. Amen. Angeles, you are in my rosary, baby. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give the whole rosary to you today. God bless all of you now. Bye-bye.